sea, underworld of the sea, and there is this family of sirens. I don't know if the term is right, actually.
Yes.
Couldn't check. They are half fish and half human. There is this, let's say, father king, Triton, and he has four daughters, or siren daughters. And there is this law that at the age of 18, they are able to go to surface and meet the outer world of the humans, and they can visit, and one by one, the daughters, the sisters, sirens, they go to the world and come back and tell the story, and Ariel is the younger, and she's so anxious to meet the outer world, and she collects stuff that she finds in immersed ships and things like jewelry and anything that she likes. So it comes the day that she can visit the world of the humans. Sorry.
La brute. Bless you, bless you.
Thank
bless you.
And she meets a situation where she can save this man, this prince, let's say. And she saves him from a ship that is going down, and she sings to him because she has this amazing gift of singing, of her voice, the voice of the sirens enchant the man. And she saves him and sings to him, and then fades away because she's not supposed to be seen by the humans. And then she goes back to the ocean and wants so bad to return to meet this young prince. And she finds a witch, let's say, in the tales they call a witch. And this witch says to her that she's able to give legs to her, but in exchange of her voice. So Ariel gives up of her beautiful voice to achieve to get legs, and so she can walk in the world with humans and meet the prince. And so she does it, and they meet and they fall in love. But at some point, this witch Ursula, she meets the prince, and she has this beautiful voice that the prince has in his memory, that is the voice that saves him from dying, let's say. And this voice just enchant him, but actually it's Ariel's voice, which she don't have at the moment. And it goes on there, and at some point, I guess, there is different versions, but the beautiful one, you know, Ariel manages to get her voice back and, you know, marry the prince. But I didn't read, but I'm aware that in the original story,
yes,
Ariel gets so sad that she turns into sea, I don't know the term, the bubbles of the sea, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She turns into the sea. She this is, I guess, it's the original story.
Yes. Yes. So what is the question that you had in mind regarding the story of Ariel?
I couldn't formulate, you know, I didn't think too much about, but there are many aspects that they are interesting, like she gives up her voice, the essence of her voice, which is the most enchanting voice,
mm-hmm.
to get legs, to walk in the world, to be able to walk, you know, to get duality in a way.
Yes, yes. Now. Yes.
She
yes.
gives us the voice to reach the duality and to, like, havat, like, to have an experience in the world.
Yes.
So, why?
And, why would she do that?
What it can tell, what this story can tell to us.
Yes, beautiful. Yes, thank you, Felipe. So Ariel has this beautiful, charming voice, very unique voice. But once, yes, she's using her voice to save the prince, and she noticed that there's a prince even exists, she's charmed by the existence of the prince. She would like to get closer to him, but she has to quit her own voice. What does it mean? Why we can ask from the beginning, why even there is a need of exchange voice between, I mean, to exchange voice in two legs? What is this weird offering? What is the voice? What does the voice represent? In Hebrew, there's a term when the decision is being made. Yes, when people have to vote for a topic and everybody's agreeing. It says, or the language is built in a way that the decision or the new, let's say, follow-up was accepted by one mouth or one voice. Pe echad. In Hebrew, we say pe echad, one mouth. I think that one of Fernando's friends, Shelton, he says that in English they say one voice. Is it that the English says to accept, to reach a decision in one voice? Is it? Is the English bit like this, Jill? One voice?
Yeah, that sounds right, yeah.
Yes, one voice. Yes. So there is presence. Everybody's agreeing. So there is like presence. And there is one voice. In Hebrew, they say pe'echad, but one mouth, but it's basically the same. So Ariel, she wants to experience relationship. And relationship is between two. In this case, the prince and Ariel. So relationship by itself already says two. And this is why the sorcerer or the witch or the fairy would not do that. Usually the fairies are good, but there is exchange. She has to exchange because she would like to have a relationship. To have a relationship, it means that it's a game of two. So from her will, before she's quitting even her voice, she's wishing to have a relationship. And in order to have a relationship, we need to have two. What the sorcerer comes after and says, you have to exchange the voice and to give your voice and to gain legs, This is another external sentence. But by the mere fact, yes, that you can say infinite consciousness or awareness wants to experience relationship, it means it had to, what? It had to be finite. It has to appear in space and time. This is what, let's say, the legend means of having two legs. Yes? In order that the infinite will have a relationship, and relations is always between two, infinite has to, how do you say, simsum, concise its infinite quality in a finite appearance, to appear in time and space in order to have this experience of relationship of the other. Yes? It's a very beautiful legend, but this is also how it is. Once, and it's not just about Ariel. And this is how the poem of the Tree of Life portrayed this happening from moving from infinite light to appearance in time and space. That there is a will, a divine will, that wishes what? To appear in space and time. But in order to appear, there's, first of all, has to be a, how do you say, concision? How do you say, simtzum, concising, yes? So infinite has to concise itself, like we inhale inside, and suddenly there's a space in which duality could even dance or appear. Therefore, Ariel has to quit her voice, has infinite, her presence. There are many, many ways to look at it. To appear here in space and time. What does it mean, two legs? To appear here in the matrix of space and time. Why does Ariel want to appear in the matrix of space and time? Because she would like to meet the prince. So she is quitting or turning her, quitting, yes, quitting, we could say quitting her voice. It means infinite. Yes. To experience this relationship with the prince. So she's quitting, in brackets, a phase of herself to gain. It's like two sides of the same coin. From one side of the coin, there's infinite with voice, which is never in a way, this is why she is also in the sea, in the ocean. She dead. It's not a separated entity. She is part of the ocean. There's no separation. Therefore, she can sing and she has beautiful voice. But once she would like to have a relationship with human, she is quitting or closing the door, let's say, or turning her back to the infinite, to the ocean, to the boundless life. And she gains two legs. She can, so to speak, appear in space and time. She can meet the prince. But she's in a way quitting her non-separated. She is quitting because she is part of the whole. She is part of the, she is the soul. But she has to turn her back to the soul, which is not limited, to quit her voice, to appear in space and time. And to appear in space and time, she has to forget, in a way, to turn her back to this unity. Yes, and appear on, yes, on a vehicle of duality, space and time, to meet the prince as a separated, so to speak, human being. To experience love or relationship, she first has to, in a way, expel herself from the Garden of Eden, from the infinite. And only when she's like agreeing to this suggestion, she can experience love by first separating herself from infinite. Only in this way she can experience love and relationship. But she is, in a way, not just Ariel. All of us. It's not so much story about Ariel. It's this beautiful story mirrors a very, very deep truth about human appearing. Why, in a way, human should appear on the stage here, space and time, to experience love. So before there is ability to experience love, first there has to be a disconnection. When a baby is born, so to speak, there is a disconnection, turning the back to the ocean, yes, to the infinite, and there's appearance of a baby in space and time. But in the course of time, in the course of matrix, the baby, boy or girl, will find the other half to experience love. So again, in order to experience love, first there is a precondition. You can call it the expulsion of the Garden of Eden, or you can call it quitting your voice, forget that you come from the sea, which is boundless, infinite light. Forget, close the door and just walk one left, one right, on those conditions, left and right, yes, appearing here in space and time, in order that love or relationship could appear. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. Beautiful story. And it's not just about Ariel or the sirenas, or it is about all the births of humanity. Why, you can ask even a prime question, why even there's a need to deliver babies or so, or why humanity acts or nature acts. It's not just human, this is how nature acts. Yes, why is it? You can ask, what is all this show is about? And this is it. In order to feel love, experience love or relationship, first there's a prime condition. And the condition is to feel disconnected or forget the voice or forget the unity. This is the condition. Is it clear in this way, Felipe, Jill, Yanis? Abigail, is it understood?
It is. This yes. is so beautiful. And I was reading these days, I was reading again. And interestingly, through our, let's say, perspective of this non-duality, and the chapter of male and female on Weinreb's book, Roots of the Bible. And it's so beautiful because he describes so interestingly this separation of the two yods that forms the Aleph, and the split of unity into two yods, and then the split of the lower yod into two halves, two fives, and how it completes the name of the Tetragrammaton, and there this is a so interesting chapter in a simple, let's say, simple way. If we approach knowing some basic of the format of the letters and so on, but also there is this interesting relation between unity and love, because one is Ehad, which is the 13, and Ahava, love, is also this 13. And you know, it's a complete subject, you know, it, because in a way to it is a way to find unity again through love, you know. It's all there, the numbers and the signs, they are very clearly just wanted to share this, that I would recommend this chapter, beautiful chapter of Vanya book.
Yes, it is beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Like Felipe says, Echad, one is 13, and 13 and 13 is 22. I'm sorry, no, it's not 26, it's the being. So it is interesting because in a way, not a formula, but in order to be, there aren't any condition, but love, what is love? You can ask, what is love? You can just be. Yes? When we are with friends, like sharing this space, this is the way to experience love. Yes, Jill? Can anyone hear Jill? Hello?
I'm sorry. I don't know. I think my phone came off. I'm still listening.
Yes. So, because what happens, this is a very good question, because always the brain says, the narrator, you don't do enough. Yes. You don't progress enough. Yes, you have to do something, yes, to gain or whatever, to feel approved or to feel worthy, yes? But in this is an example for such a meeting. There is no preconditions. Nobody has to come here with the, how do you say, with portfolio, like what I did today or... No, just be, and this is the way to feel love or to experience love. But before this gathering, like this, there is, we say, a sense of separation, not really separation, but a sense of separation. And then there's the gathering, and each one can feel love by just be, because there is no condition. What is the difference between feeling love and other, let's say, forms of relationship? People they are expected to do something to get return. You pay for the ice cream, you pay for coffee, or you do something, yes, and you work and then you get a salary. But here, there is no exchange. You don't need to do A to gain B. What the sorcerer told Ariel, that you first have to quit your voice and then gain two legs. Yes, yes, this is what I was trying to say, Felipe. Yes, yes. There is no primal conditions here. Nobody needs to bring like a CV or to fill forms and to be accepted or so. Just be a by mere being, there's like great experience of love and there's no divisions or so, and it's beautiful. But first of all, to experience love, Felipe, so to speak, Felipe, not just Felipe or Jill, Yanis or Abigail, yes, were born, yes. This is only to the eyes of the beholder that there is a birth. But names are coming from different continents, so to speak, from different upbringing, and there's a meeting of the other. Yes, in one space, and there's a feeling of love. You don't have to do anything to feel love. It's just love is a being. So there is no conditions. This is why it's beautiful to be able to participate in those sessions. There, nobody has to bring something, no wood for the fire, no steaks, popcorn, cake, ice cream, tea, coffee, soft drinks, water, whatever. You don't need to bring something and then to just be. You don't even need to come. You don't need to take an airplane or a bus or a car. This is the beauty of it. This is the story about Ariel. And Ariel, Ariel is the Hebrew name for the temple. The temple has few names in Hebrew. It has one, Beit HaMikdash, the house of holy or holiness. And another name for the temple is Ariel. Yes? So Ariel is a Hebrew name, yes, for the temple. Ariel. Yes. Yes, there's also another name for the temple, which is called Dvir. Dvir. Yes. Where you could look at it as where the speech is coming from, because it does not come from us. It comes through us. We're just flutes. Yes, and Ariel is one of the names for temple in Hebrew. So seemingly, we can look at Ariel, at his story, and to see ourselves in a way appearing here, seemingly appearing here in space and time, forgetting or with the back to the infinite experience, so to speak, finite here, it's not, but so to speak. Why? Because through this little corridor or this hole, we can experience love. Yes? Very, very interesting. It's a story that captures everything inside. Everything is in the story of Ariel. Thank you, Felipe, and greetings to Aurora about her beautiful story, Ariel. Thank you so much. Any other question? Abigail, Yanis, Jill, Felipe, any other question? And following, I would like to move. Continuing, you're most welcome. The non-duality. And look at the struggle of Jacob, yes, in the river Yabok as the prototype of non-duality, because there's a struggle, not just with the archetype, yes, of duality. This is the angel of Esau, when the Lord is saying that he was struggling with the minister of Esau, his twin brother. It's a prototype of struggling. Jacob is struggling. He's moving his wives, four, and children to one side of the river, and he's staying alone on the other side, and there's a struggle. this is not historical struggle. This is not a struggle with an angel or with an entity or a minister of his twin brothers. It's just a manifestation of a struggle that man has with himself. And this is the essence of non-duality. And this is what happens. This is why also at the end of the struggle, there is a change of the name. So it is non-duality. The struggle is about non-duality, supposed to stop. And there's a change in it. You're not Jacob. You don't have a name. You're not a son to the parents, which are two. You're not a brother, yes, to your Esav brother. You're not his twin. You are not a husband of four wives. You are not the father of 13 children, meaning 12 sons and one daughter. You're not. Your name is not Jacob, because you're not following Yaakov. It means to follow someone else, because he was named at the birth after holding his brother's heel. So you're not following anyone, because you're not after. Because in space and time, there's all the time sense of what was before and after. This is how we see the linear story. And the struggle of your book trying to tell completely different story. You are not the one who struggles with time, because Fernando was mentioning yesterday a beautiful thing. He says we are playing so many roles in life, and it's heavy, the story about playing roles. And this is what's so beautiful about the struggle of your book, because the struggle says something very simple. Your name is not Jacob. Stop struggling with the name, because the name is the identity. Yes? Yes, Felipe. Yes. So you are not Jacob. You haven't been born, and you're not the twin. Yes? Your name is not Jacob. Your name is not Jacob. You have never been born. You are not the son of your parents, the beloved one of your mother. This is a great identity, and less loved by your father. So you are not their son. You are not the brother of your brother. You are not his twin brother. You are not a husband of four women. You are not the father of 13 children. And you are not, yes, the nephew of Laban that was cheated time after time, that you experience in your life so many cheatings. Because it's not so much story about Jacob, it's about us. What happens to someone walks in space of time with this heaviness of narration? Because like Fernando says yesterday, very honestly, we are playing roles. Roles of a son, or, yes, role of a brother, a role of lawyer who opens an office. We had a few years ago here a story of, we were introduced to someone's story that he was very successful lawyer, yes, and in the time he opened and expanded his office and more partners joined in. But for him it was very, very important until today, because he believes he is his role and his name, yes. It was very important for him that under the banner of the company, it will be written that he is the founder of the office, because they're like, it's a huge office of many, many lawyers, yes. But for him, the most important thing that it will be written next to his name, that he is the founder, because he believes that he's the role, he's the founder. So when we walk in the world and we believe this identity that we are sons and daughters, yes, that we are playing, that we are the teachers, that we are the parents, that we, it is very, very heavy to walk in life with such a notion that the brain never stops bombarding us with those identities. Now, it doesn't matter if it's a son or a daughter, brother and sister, twin. It doesn't matter. It's just very, very heavy because we have to invest so much energy of thought, yes, to support those stories, to stream blood, to hold those fake identities, which are also very, very heavy to carry because they are false. Yes, just an example today. We replaced a cupboard, like a wardrobe. There are only two doors, student a cupboard, but it was like from different, let's say, not IKEA, but something from another company. And just to disassemble the cabinet and to put it outside for municipality to take it, it was so, so heavy. And we did not understand why the cabinet is so heavy, because it's not like natural wood that you could say. Just putting MDF, like pieces of like shreds of wood and more glue to make it thick, like it's a real plate from real wood. Even if you use real plate of wood, a natural oak or any natural tree, it would not be that heavy because it naturally is breathing. But a making of a cupboard, like take shreds of wood, process wood, and to glue it and to put paper on it, it's so heavy. It was, this is what the narration does. It just takes shreds. You know, maybe you have this experience when you buy a desk or a little cabinet unit. It's once for many, many generations, they used to make it from real wood, but now they're just using all kinds of supplements like paper and glue and shreds of wood, like if it's a real wood, like playing as if. But since it's not real and it's like pressed together with a lot of processing, it looks like it's wood, yes, but it's not real. This is what the narration does. It just take, yes they do, because they're not real. It's not from one, it's not from the source, you know. It's just the making of men. This is why they fall apart. This is it. And it's so heavy, yes. It's like the narration. It's just to take few pictures, few names, few events that part of them we remember or not, putting them together like a mosaic. It's just a production that the mind creates, that the brain creates in order to introduce us a complete, absolute story. And we are buying this story, and we buy those stories about our identities, which impossible for us to have. The verb to have has nothing to do, yeah? Because what we are is not of time. And a beautiful story is about Ariel, because Jill, yes, she has a name, Jill, and Yanis, and Abigail, and Felipe. This is, so to speak, to the born baby in space and time. But the other side of the coin, yes, there is the other side of Yanis is Ariel, is the temple. The other side of Jill is the temple, so Abigail and so Felipe. Yes, and what we borrowed, yes, so to speak, in the moment that told us that we were born, We borrowed an identity that people told us this. This is our name, and this is where we are. This is the country. It's a borrowed identity. It's not real. Therefore, we should not cleave to those names, to those roles. It's just an act. And identity, characterize identity, it's like a statue. It's just something that doesn't move. Yes? Like a statue that you see in museum or sometimes there is a beautiful city here that the Greek built and Romans, yes, on the shore. So you see those beautiful statue. There is a city here, Caesarea, yes, on the name they gave it for the Caesar. So you see those beautiful statue from stone. They're not moving. Also, identity, in a way, suggests us immovable. It's like a noun. It never moves. This is why carrying identity or carrying a sense of false identity is so heavy and it causes suffering, because it's not real. Because our true nature is Ariel, the temple. This emptiness that everything just runs through or stream through, there is no limitation whatsoever. Any other identity that we choose to believe that we are carrying is just a foreign, a self story. Yes, this is why it's so heavy. And just, there is no need to carry those false identities around ourselves. They're not real. If someone goes in the street and tell himself, I'm George, I'm the son of this and that, and we are seven generations here. Imagine every moment he thinks about himself, about George, as seventh generation from Michael or whatever, and he walks with this story. It is so heavy, and he's always occupied with this story to hold it. Because if he's not thinking of it as an object, life will wash, and he's so occupied with his story about himself being a seventh generation of someone, retelling the story to himself, that he's not being present, he's occupied, so he's in a way absent. He's running a show in his head, and people are moving next to him, butterflies, and he's not zonked out, he's just somewhere else, carrying this heavy story about George, that he's seven generations from Michael, da, 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 da. Who needs it? It's not true. So why do you carry those false identities, those, you know, the statues of Stalin, of Churchill, those, if you look into those cities, they, all kinds of people, they put their statues from stone, from marble, from, I don't know, they're very heavy. Who needs it? Because life is not heavy. They say something very beautiful about the ark, yes, in the Bible. So who could carry the ark? Because the ark, they used to host the tablets. And there's a beautiful saying that people did not need to carry the ark. Yes? And I will say the Hebrew sentence, Ha'aron noseh et nos'av. The ark, meaning the holiness, carries us. The holiness carries the bodies. The holiness manifests the movement of humans, their speech. Yes? Yes, the holiness moves and breathes air into us, not we. It's understood. Ha'aron noseh et nos'av. Ha'aron, the ark, or the holiness, or Ariel, or the temple, it doesn't matter. Yes, the infinite streams life into the finite. Not the finite holds. You could look at it like this, but it's basically if the infinite does not streams into the finite as a body, the body will not move, will not play the piano. So the holiness, call it holiness, call it the temple, call it infinite, the source, whatever. This kind of streaming moves through us. This is why we don't have identity, because identity is something, is a matter which is fixed. Yes? Like you can draw these outlines, but we all the time, life is moving through us. There's a change, not just in fashion, the way people dress also, there's a change all the time. Every moment there's a new breath comes inside, yes, moves inside, yes, refreshing everything, like different material is just being washed and new is coming. Every moment there's like a birth, yes? Every breath is a birth. Every breath is a birth. Therefore, there is no need to count or to celebrate birthdays once a year because it's a fallacy. Every breath, in every new breath, there's a new birth. So the infinite, in a way, breathing through us, creating new births every moment. We have nothing to do with it. We are being born every moment. There, yes, of course. Every moment we are being born. Every moment. Every moment we are being born. So all the story about identity, about a name, is just a fallacy. Why to hold such a story in the mind, in the brain, to walk with these walking deads? Because it's a dead end. And this is dead identity. Yes, it was created and formatted by men. It's not really. It's like MDF when you take shreds, yes, of wood from the factory and you put them together with the glue and more paper and so heavy that you cannot carry it. So who needs it? This is the question. You just quit on it because it's not true. It's not essential to life and to living. So thank you so much for being here with us. Thank you, Abigail. Thank you, Jill, Yanis, Felipe, and Aurora. Thank you for the beautiful story of Ariel. We would like to wish you Shabbat Shalom, everyone, and see you here on Saturday if you have the time. Good weather to all and good recovery to Aurora, and we wish that her voice will return. Toda and Shalom.